Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million. And tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
Well, if Charlton says we're ready, then I guess we're ready.
Yes, that's the real thing. Hello, I'm Kimberly Adams, and welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Thanks so much, he said in his native tongue, for joining us on this Thursday. Man, that was terrible.
It's been a long week, but today is the day that we are just going to do a news fix, make me smile, and get y'all out of here. So, Kai, you have an interesting one. Go ahead.
Well, so I am following, because it's really hard to look away from a train wreck, I'm following Elon Musk's effort to turn his $44 billion purchase of Twitter into a $0 purchase of Twitter by driving it into the ground. And so there's lots going on. There's the $8 blue check mark. There's this and that and all the yonks. Here's where the rubber is going to meet the road for Mr. Musk and his lieutenants, as the New York Times called them. Advertisers are running screaming away from that platform. General Motors, L'Oreal the last couple of days, now General Mills, Audi, and Pfizer have said, we are going to pause our Twitter ads because we don't want our products next to racist, hateful, misogynist, take your pick, content that people are now going to be increasingly able to tweet out because Mr. Musk is relaxing some of the curation of that website. And look, cards on the table here, right? I'm a Twitter user. I really enjoy it. I get my news from there. I have serendipitous discovery from there. I have people who are my Twitter buddies. I like the platform. But if it becomes a cesspool, more of a cesspool, I should be clear. Look, I'm not paying anybody $8 for that. And whether or not I stick around and a lot of other people stick around sort of depends on how it goes. And advertisers have said, we're not taking a chance. We're not doing it.
It's so funny. I've applied multiple times to get a blue check mark and been denied like every single time. I apparently am not a big enough deal for Twitter to give me a blue check mark, but I definitely would not pay for it.
No.
And I've been watching with interest the flight of users. I've gotten DMs from people saying, hey, I'm leaving Twitter. Here's where I'm going.
And
other people have posted more publicly saying, I'm leaving Twitter. Here's where I'm going. And it's a bunch of different sites. Let me see. I was just telling the reporters about this earlier. Let's see. So Mastodon, Co-host, Counter Social, Tribal, all of these different social messaging sites that are suddenly getting deluged with users. And some of them are a bit buggy because it's just like all of a sudden everybody's joining and everyone's trying to sort of figure out what the next space is going to be. But what's interesting about it is I went today and I signed up for all of them and I was actually able to get my name. I have an extraordinarily common name.
Yeah, that's funny.
And the person on Twitter who is Kimberly Adams is a librarian in Virginia, I believe. And she ran for Congress at one point. She's a big Trump supporter. And so, like, that is the Kimberly Adams on Twitter. But because I have such a common name, I'm rarely able to get my actual name on these social media platforms. So I went today and I got it on all of these new ones.
Good for you.
Getting in early.
Good for you, right? Early adopter. That's awesome.
I have my actual name on Skype. I got on that pretty early for anyone who actually uses Skype anymore.
So, okay. You know, watch this space for Mr. Musk. Go ahead.
Yes. All right. So my news fix is reviving the old daylight savings times fight, which he talked about in the show earlier this year when it snuck through the Senate, much to everyone's surprise, that a bill to make daylight savings time permanent. Now, It was a big to-do at the time because a bunch of the senators didn't know it was happening, and it got through kind of on a technicality, but it brought all this conversation about should we make daylight saving times permanent. And it's sitting with the House right now, and the House hasn't really done much with it. But Reuters has a piece today where they actually asked people about it because daylight savings time or the reverse is coming up. And it stalled in the House, and people are split. It looks like the headline is U.S. Congress is split on making daylight savings time permanent, because a lot of people are really bummed that we're about to push the clocks. Is it back or forward?
Fall back in the fall.
It's back.
Yes.
Yes, fall back in the fall, because it's going to get dark earlier and seasonal depression and all that stuff. And some people say that that's even worse to make that permanent. And if we're going to make anything permanent, it should be standard time, and that would be better. The Washington Post has this very fun, interactive piece with lots of interesting, fun, lighthearted graphics about why daylight savings time is worse for your body than standard time. And the subtitle is an animated story of what science says about changing our clocks in the fall and the spring. And it gets to sort of your body's clock and how the different time standards, I guess, mesh with it and where it messes up. It's kind of fun. It's animated and you can just scroll through and it's educational. I liked it a lot.
I will do that. Did you say that standard time is worse for your... Sorry, daylight saving time is worse for your body than standard time? Is that what that said?
That's what some of the scientists say.
Well, so Marco Rubio's bill, which is the one in the Senate that's going to come up again, has us going to daylight saving time permanently.
Right, and this is the fight. Right. Some people are like, if we're going to make anything permanent, which there's a debate as to whether or not we should, it should be standard time and not daylight savings time.
So put up
daylight
or shut up.
Daylight saving time.
Yes. it's only one saving at a time. Put up or shut up. Which one do you are you in favor of going 1 year round, or do you like the switch, or what?
The arguments I have seen thus far.
Get analytical. Just come on, give me your gut.
Make me feel that standard time is probably the way to go.
I like changing the times. I don't know. It's a marker of passage. That's it. That's what I got.
Okay.
There we go.
Well, on Sunday you'll get to do it.
I know. And then I'll grumble about it for a couple of days, and the dogs will be out
probably.
Of whack and everything. Anyway, God, I'm glad I don't have little kids anymore. All right, Charlton. Charlton, I'm going to guess, what does Charlton think? What does Charlton think about whether we should stay on daylight saving time? Come on, whisper in my ear. Give me a little talk back. What do you think? Charlton likes what? Well, it likes switching times? There we go. All right. Okay. Well, he raises a very good point. We live in L.A.
Y'all
no seasons
don't have
here.
Seasons.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well,
a
there we go.
A bit different when there's actual weather.
That is true. All right. Go ahead.
Well, mine is kind of nostalgic and also very touristy promotional, but CNN has this fun article about the tunnel under Niagara Falls. Did you know about this? Giant tunnel? Yeah, there's a giant tunnel under Niagara Falls because there, at one point, they were using it for hydroelectricity. And so there was a power station underneath Niagara Falls that diverted water from the Niagara River to run giant generators. I'm reading from the CNN articles. Giant generators that electrified regional industry and contributed to the nearby Great Lakes port of Buffalo, which you know very well, because you were there, becoming known as the City of Light. The power station operated from 1905 to 2006. And it's been kind of off limits, but certain tours have taken you through it. And CNN has all these cool pictures of the inside of this power station and the tunnel that you can go through. And it's all like fun. And
it
actually might make me want to go to Niagara Falls again. I haven't been since I was a kid, but I want to see the tunnel under Niagara Falls.
Totally. That would be awesome. That would be totally awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of awesome, we are going back to the moon on the 14th of November. Fingers crossed.
Woo-hoo.
So as we have talked about on this podcast many a time, Kimberly and I are you know, NASA and space freaks. The new Artemis rocket is going to roll out after having been rolled out and then had to get rolled back to fix some things and a hurricane and all this. It's going to start rolling out the early hours of tomorrow. So that is after midnight tonight, right? Today's Thursday? Yes.
Yes.
It's going to start rolling out to the pad on the big crawler thing, and then it's going to launch on the 14th. And remember, this is the one that goes around the moon and comes back. It's the test, and eventually we're going to put people back on the moon, I think, on Artemis 4. So that's what's going on with space. I thought that was kind of cool.
There's supposed to be a really good full moon coming up.
Oh, that'd
as
be
well.
Great.
It's going to be like
be great.
Very interesting looking.
That would be awesome.
All right.
There we go.
All things are awesome.
Yes.
And sing the Lego song. Everything is awesome. Okay, that is it for us today. I'll be back tomorrow with Andy Euler for Economics on Tap. Our YouTube live stream starts at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific. We'll have more news, some drinks, a new/old kind of swag, and play a round of half full, half empty, plus a little poll action for those who tune in on the live stream.
In the meanwhile, if you've got a question or a comment, 508-UB-SMART is the phone number. Leave us a voicemail there, or you can email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera and Courtney Bergsicker. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe.
Ellen Rolfes writes our newsletter. Our senior producer, Bridget Bodner, is working on the next season of Million Bazillion. And Donna Tam is the director of On Demand.
For like what? 2 days?
Hmm?
How much longer? I mean, you know, Donna got a promotion.
It's a whole podcast. It takes a bit.
We should tell people Donna got a promotion, right? So, you know.
Oh, yes. Donna got a promotion. Yeah. Yay, Donna.
So, you know, I'm just saying. There's going to be some shuffling in the credits. That's all I'm saying.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.